Impact 103. This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
A couple of days ago, we got to get into a room, a couple of journalists, and have a conversation with Chandler Moore and hearing his heart on various things. One of those being the heart behind this tour, the Omema tour. You know how much you love Omema. I know if you just hear Omema, you're just like, yes, Khosi, yes, please. Maybe I'll play it later on for you. But he explains the heart behind the Omema tour. He also shares a little bit more about his journey of faith and growing up in the church and what that means, what that looks like. But more importantly, he also speaks about just songwriting, how he goes about the process of songwriting, which I think is incredible. Because if you think about songs he's been on, you just go, wait, those are incredible songs. Those are songs I'm just like, man, I've cried to these songs. I've praised God to these songs. I've worshipped listening to these songs. I mean, think about Jaira. Think about Man of Your Word, Wait on You, Shall Not Want, Voice of God, Firm Foundation. These are the ones that he's featured on with Maverick City Music. Not forgetting the ones with Elevation Worship. Praise is one of those songs. I Have a Father from his own album, and so many others. And he speaks about the process of writing these songs and kind of that, what he calls grief and the pain that he writes from. And that's why many of us are able to relate to that conversation or the songs and the word placement and the word choices. And I think that is absolutely incredible. Well, here it is, Chandler Moore having a sit down while he was here in South Africa.
No, Omema tour is just that. I mean, last year I recorded an album live in LA, and that's where Omema comes from.
Yes.
First solo album, full album. And, That was a special season of my life because I was just coming out of a very transformational moment that God was working on me with. So did the album, and we did some pop-ups in the States. But for the first tour, I was like, I just feel like I need the love. I need the support. I need the sound, the uniqueness that you feel in a room when you're with our brothers and sisters in Africa.
Sure.
Yeah, so Maverick City Music, the thing that me and some of my friends have built, and basically I call my baby Maverick, because we constructed, I loved being a part of Maverick because I never desired to be a solo artist or kind of do the artist thing. It's just not built for my personality, and you know, I'm just a different kind of guy. So I never really desired that, but in 2022, when God made it very clear to me that it was time to dip, just through some internal feelings and what he was speaking to me about. I did not enjoy it. It took me about a year to really embrace it. I was talking to Trace Media early, and I was just like, sometimes it's a lot of us, we accept hard things, or maybe you accept something that God has called you to, or maybe something that he's asking for. But a lot of times we don't go to the next step, which is then embracing it. You can accept that something happened or something happened to you, but until you learn to embrace it and figure out what God really wants you to learn from it, you don't really get the full benefit of it. So I think it took me a year to really embrace. Actually, and I'm still struggling with embracing it. So it's taken me some time to really embrace the solo career. But the thing I am grateful for is being solo, being in a group, being in a collective. You have a lot of things driving it, and it's not a bad or good thing. It's just what a reality of being in a collective. So now that I'm in a solo career, I am enjoying being able to drive where I feel like I want to go and where I want to be with the help of God. So yeah, I am a church kid. My dad's a pastor, so I grew up in church. I grew up, and what people don't realize about those who grow up in church and with the influence is you're not just growing up in a religious setting or a religious space or a religious environment. You are growing up almost like learning, like sociology, learning the study of people and like what people like to respond to and people's emotions. So when you're raised in church, you have an edge as a creative or as an artist or as a producer or as whoever. You have an edge that most don't have because you grew up in an environment being able to study different groups of people and how people react. So I think a part of my songwriting, I was just telling a story earlier, is like, for Praise, one of my biggest songs right now, it came out of a moment me imagining how a room would sound if they just screamed praise to the top of their lungs. So like it can come from that aspect. But then there's another side of aspect that is a God factor, which I aspire that everyone who listens to my music can connect with, is I try to bring my entire self into the writing room. Meaning I'm not just bringing the glitzy and the glamour and the goodness of my life, but I am bringing the pain of my life. Sure. And I want everyone who hears my music or experiences a song that I write or a song I'm a part of to know that though we may experience a lot of pain, and I'm very connected to my pain, very connected to others' pain, that when you listen to the music and when you listen to these songs and these music, that you experience the redemptive power of God, of what he can do with pain, that you experience what God can take as ashes and make it into beauty, what God can take as what it should be broken and make it a success. So that's kind of where my songwriting comes from, and make sure I'm always hitting the realness of where our lives were. I mean, the greatest picture of our faith, if you're a believer, if you follow Jesus, is Jesus on the cross. Yes. And how that the dichotomy and the principle of this life who follows, if you follow God, if you really are a disciple, if you really follow him and are trying your best to follow him, is that most of our greatest moments in our lives are not moments you're going to see on Instagram scrolling. It is moments of pain and death. Mm-hmm. And it's when you can allow God to take something that is ugly, that is messy, that is bloody, that is hard, that is impossible, and use it for his glory. And I think a lot of Christian writers, I think a part of the impact of Maverick at the time when we came out was that we were writing from an honest place and of pain. And worship music at the time had gotten so polished and so fit, so kind of exclusive for a certain group of people. But God has used us and me to use the parts of us that we don't enjoy talking about, but we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So using the parts that you don't enjoy talking about, because that's the parts. People can look at your success story, and that's why I always try to talk about the hard moments of my life, because you've seen me in whatever I have on and whatever car I drive and however big of a room I'm singing in. It's not going to help you. It may inspire you, but you hearing the amount of pain it took to get and the amount of willingness to unlearn and grieve the old season and to accept what God is doing. I was talking about this in Kenya because the principle of what God does is there's a scripture in Isaiah when he says, "Hey, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Forget the former." And a lot of times we don't like pain, because pain is usually a vehicle into something new.
Sure.
And there's a different kind of grief when this is, again, referring to my solo career. It's one level of grief that you have when you're leaving something bad going into something new.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different level of grief and trust that you have to have in God when you're leaving something that is actually okay and it's a blessing, and this is what you plan for, this is what you pray for, in order to trust God to do something new. You have to forget the former. And what do you do when, you know, the old thing looks completely opposite? You know, the new thing looks completely opposite to the old thing. You have to forget it.
Yeah.
And it's not that God didn't do it. He did that too, but he's doing something new. So I think the whole process of songwriting is connecting with grief, pain. Sure. I did a whole EP during 2020 called Feelings during the pandemic, where it's just an EP of just straight lamenting and just connecting with pain and letting people know that God is okay with your emotions. He gave you those emotions.
Okay.
The Bible says Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane not wanting to do something that he wanted, that God was asking him to do. And he was so grieved. He was so much full of so much grief. He was sweating blood.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more us who are not 100% God, do we feel our emotions? So I think that's what my songwriting, my career, my music is all about.
And this is a conversation that we had earlier this week with Chandler Moore, who finds himself in South Africa, multi-award winning, Grammy award winning singer, songwriter, who's part of different collaborations. He's worked with Elevation Worship, he's worked with Maverick City Music, he's worked with One House Worship, he's worked and is part of Sons of Sunday with Stephen Furtick and Brandon Lake. He's just got an incredible record of music that he's brought out. And now, for the very first time, he's actually got his first song, his first solo album. His debut album came out not too long ago, which is where that song that you and I love so much, Omema, comes from. I know just how much you love that song. The moment you hear it, I think I was talking to Zinhle Mkhulu, and she was saying, man, I was in the mornings and I found out people love Omema so much. The moment they hear it, it's just like something happens, right? Because I know when you hear it, something in you moves, right? Ah, man, imagine hearing that in the morning on your way to work. And I'm just like, I get it. I fully understand why people find themselves enjoying this so much. Well, as part of the Omema tour, he's made a pit stop in South Africa. He's going to be performing tonight in Joburg and tomorrow in Cape Town. Managed to have a conversation with him about various things. In the first part of the conversation, we're talking about him and church and growing up in church. But this time, yeah, we spoke a little bit about just complex seasons, the season of waiting, the season of being hidden by God for a later purpose and later journey. And I think this has been absolutely valuable. But in true sense and fashion of Drive 3 to 6, I have to start off the conversation on a much lighter and almost confusing note.
I'm going to take the first question and I'm going to break protocol slightly and get you to answer it immediately, just to make sure you don't have enough time to think.
Okay.
Very random.
Yes.
Which of the three would you rather do? Spend a day with David to write a song, sit an hour with Solomon, or spend the weekend with Apostle Paul? Think, my brother. Think, my brother. I believe
God
in you.
Dog.
I believe in you.
Those are my three favorite people of the Bible.
Pity can only choose one.
Okay. In this season of my life, Solomon, I'll sit as, what is it? You said a week?
It's an hour.
An hour?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Full day with David. An hour with Solomon.
An hour with Solomon.
An hour with Solomon.
Yeah. All
right. I can get into my questions now, now that I know how you're thinking. So I want to touch on two themes, right? You speak about coming from Charleston and how it's a small town and a small-mindedness in that town, right? Fast forward many years later, here you are turning 30, traveling the world, doing the Omema tour in Europe and Africa on the back of kind of like what feels like this, a catalyst of a process that the Lord has put you through. What do you say to people who are finding themselves in a quote-unquote Charleston sort of a setup where they're surrounded by small-mindedness, if I could say, to fully fathom and step out in faith with what God is leading them to in the next season? And then the second question you kind of speak about in that process, sort of double barrel into this question, is this concept of being hidden. You speak about many years where the Lord was kind of like, to use Gen, I don't even know what Gen this is, Gen X, Y, Z, through Alpha, their language, where you're in a season where the Lord was letting you cook for where He's taking you to in future, this place where He's kept you back for what He's establishing in the future and the season that you're in right now. And you speak about 8 years of a season of waiting before the establishment. How do you speak to the people that's kind of in the small-mindedness? And the second part of the question being to people that are in a season that feels like it's just waiting.
Yeah.
Nothing is really moving.
Yeah. I would say that we don't just look at the Bible as, you know, I don't like saying characters of the Bible, because they're not this fictional story thing. These are real life people, humans. And what our greatest model of that is Jesus as a human. And Jesus came from a place called Nazareth, and basically Nazareth was just the most random place for someone of stature to come from. That's why even when Jesus went back home, he said he couldn't perform miracles because of the faith of Nazareth. So Nazareth was not where they expected the king of the Jews or the Messiah to come from. And that gives me a beautiful picture, because small-mindedness has a way of preparing you to not care about your environment. It has a way of preparing you that though everyone else may think like this, it trains you in obedience to God. It trains you in how much you're willing to sacrifice of your own reputation and love of your own. Some of us have an idol to be understood. That can be an idol, you wanting the understanding of people and you wanting people to understand and you wanting people to figure out and respect you. And like, that can become an idol sometimes. And what misunderstanding can do, and what stepping out of the mindset and living in Charleston. Charleston is where I'm from, South Carolina, so you did your research. Living in that kind of environment and still fighting against, you know, the mindset. Man, my dad was a pastor. I was talking to the band about this the other day. My dad was has a pretty nice sized church in the city of Charleston, was a well-known pastor. And I would never even lead worship in my dad's church, because what I do and what I would believe, what I wanted to do and how I sounded was completely different. So just imagine the rejection I could feel even from my father, because he didn't understand. And sometimes when you are around small-mindedness, you have to realize that God is building in you the boldness and the courage to step out anyway, so that when you are on a platform, because then you don't outgrow having to always be bold. Like even now, me fighting against some of the things I'm fighting with, believing how I believe, talking how I talk, living how I live, is against what most traditionalists believe. But I have built a hardness, a healthy hardness of heart to realize, like Galatians, who am I doing this for? I'm bold. He has made me bold. And hidden seasons are, I wish we valued hidden seasons more. If you are in a hidden season, I know what it feels emotionally. I know how it feels. And, you know, I don't think you ever grow out of a hidden season. I mean, I just came out of one for a year and a half. I took basically a year off, went away, left my family for 45 days and really allowed God to work on me. And those hidden seasons, you don't outgrow that, because Jesus, there's a scripture in Mark where Jesus is, he just got done doing miracles. Ah, I love this scripture. He just got done doing miracles. And the Bible says the disciples were looking for Jesus because people needed to be healed. People were coming looking for him. And the Bible says Jesus withdrew because he knew that the people wanted to make him king and it was not his time yet. So even Jesus, who only had 3 years on earth, to do what, you know, I mean, he was alive, but he only had 3 years on earth where God really commissioned him to work and do what he was called to do, even knew that if it's not your time yet, it will harm you more than it would do good for you if you step out before God. I mean, I had a prophet tell me, he's in Nigeria, Sam Oye, Pastor Sam Oye, prophesied to me in 2016. He said, Chandler, for the next 7 years, God is going to put you in a preparatory process. And he listed all these things that were going to happen in the next 7 years. He said, and in the eighth year, Africa is going to call your name. He said, there's going to be so much. So there, but even with that, I didn't say that to gloat what God was doing. I fought against the hidden process still. Because as humans, when it's not happening now, you have to train your trust to know that God knows the timing in which it should happen. I mean, Moses, we can talk. This is my area, because so many people in my generation, so many people who are going to do what I'm doing are rushing to get there. And you don't understand that the enemy is, the Bible calls him wise as a serpent. That means the enemy is patient. When we're not patient, the enemy is patient. He's like a patient assassin. And he knows that if you have too much before you have the shoulders to carry it, you will crush yourself and maybe not even reach the potential of what God called you to reach, because you stepped out too soon. It's the story of the prodigal son. We find the prodigal son wanting what was already his too soon. It wasn't that the prodigal son was wanting what wasn't. It was not time yet. So now you waste years because you're frustrated and pissed off at God because he didn't give you what you're not ready for. But the grace of God is so good that even when you come back, it's as if you never left. But we have to respect the hidden season. We have to protect that. Moses was hidden. Moses was hidden. I like Moses' life, because I was hidden not even in my dad's house. I lived with Travis Green for like 6-7 years. And those were the years where God formed me most at the time. So even you have to deal with the grief of how God is hiding you.
Man, what a beautiful conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed this so much. And just being able to hear his perspective of going through that process of trusting God to see you through these seasons. I got a message from Deboho saying, man, I feel like I'm in that season of trusting God to see me through this season. And I just found it so incredible to be able to hear his perspective of his story that we sometimes don't get full picture and context of when you listen to his music. But this has definitely added some volume to it. Beautiful conversation with Chandler Moore right here on Impact 103 Drive 326.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.